It's Fully Threaded Radio, episode 149.
Bri, I really think you would look awesome in Argyle.
No, thanks, George.
Answer me this. What is it going to take to see you in an Argyle suit?
It's time for Fully Threaded Radio.
It is Fully Threaded Radio, voice of the FCH Sourcing Network. This is the podcast where we discuss all things predominantly fastener-related, from the largest forces facing the fastener industry to the smallest technical issues, and even some of the semi-lascivious details in between. So, if you're a road warrior, a desk jockey, or you're doing the real work out in the shop or warehouse, this is the podcast for you, and we're so glad you clicked in. Hi, everybody. Eric Dudas here, and the co-host of Fully Threaded is with me as well. He's the guy who does most of the heavy lifting around here at the FCH Sourcing Network. Most of you have seen him at the shows in an attractive FTR golf shirt, but he dresses up just fine, too. He's Brian Musker. You doing all right, Brian?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to say after that.
All true.
Okay, I'm happier in a golf shirt, okay? I used to be happier. I mean, I wore a suit to work for 25 years.
Are you kidding me? When I first met you back at CBI, you'd be walking down the halls in these finely tailored Italian suits. I mean, you look like you were an international consultant.
I was, and you're right, and I did have very good suits and very fancy ties, but I've changed all that, and now I'm just as happy in my golf shirt.
It's a different world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Every now and again, it's actually good to get dressed up in a suit, every now and again.
I agree. You have to find situations to do it in this new world.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's this old problem, really, of, you know, being judged by what you wear. And the fact is that it's natural for all of us to do that. I mean, someone who is in the appropriate place, you know, is dressed up in a suit, looks more professional than someone who's in jeans.
That's still true, but given that you never know these days, you can walk into a meeting and the senior guy can be sitting there in flip-flops. Hey, look at Kelly Cole. Great example.
Or look at Jeff Bezos in jeans too.
Right.
Yeah, it's the way, it's our old perception of things.
Confusing times we live in. But one thing you won't be confused about, folks, is that this is Fully Threaded Radio 149. This time we're publishing on February 18th, 2020. It's a biggie this time, Bri. I mentioned in the lead-in that we deal with the big and the small issues. We're going to start out with one of the big ones. Wholesale distributors are facing the powerful forces of disruption head-on, as highly capitalized, technology-wielding industry entrants are now entering with business models implementing artificial intelligence and marketplaces. And it's not just Amazon now, folks. How are fastener distributors supposed to compete with all this? Well, Ian Heller's back with us. He's from Distribution Strategy. We decided to have him back after a very brief absence because this is such a huge topic, and we're going to present part one of a two-part series with Ian, and I'm pretty sure he was dressed in business casual for this, Brian.
Right.
MWFA board members Paula Evitz and GH3, that's George Hunt III of Bright and Best, everybody. They join us for our feature conversation to discuss a very unusual anniversary event with the MWFA. Plus, they'll give us their take on business conditions these days.
And I'm sure George was in a suit, okay?
100%. Every time I think of him, I always imagine him in one of his golf outfits or something. You never know with him. He's like the Roger Stone of the fastener industry. BTM Manufacturing's Jake Davis joins Mike McNulty on the Fastener News Report. They'll be reacting to the startling FDI results from last month, just when you think you've seen it all, Bri, huh?
Yeah, the rebound, okay.
And leading into the Fastener News Report, we'll be joined by Bob Chiricahua of Fastener Fair USA. He's got the rundown on what's happening for this year's Fastener Fair out in Charlotte. That's happening in May. Did you get your hotel reservations for that yet, Bri?
Oh, I don't know. Lynn does that.
That's not your side of things.
It's far too practical for me. Where I'm actually going to be spending the night.
Yes. And speaking of practicality, Carmen Vertulo has the Fastener Training Minute. This time he'll be discussing galvanized nuts. And what could be more practical than that on a Fastener podcast? Bri, I was talking to Carmen leading up to this, and he's got some Prop 65 news. I don't think this has been widely reported yet, and we'll cover it probably on episode 150, but there has been some litigation out there in California, and it's a little bit of an interesting story. I'm not saying there's any cause to panic, but it's definitely something that touches the fastener world.
Wow, okay. Well, Carmen will know about it.
We knew it would come.
Yeah, I know. This is California.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have plenty of lawyers.
Where they haven't worn socks to business meetings in probably 3 decades. So that should tell you something, right? It's all coming your way, folks, on episode 149. And it's brought to you by a group of outstanding sponsors. Brian, let us know who they are.
You're right. And some of these may be people who wear suits too. The sponsors of Fully Threaded Radio are Stillfast, Brighton Best International, and Gerbil Fasteners. Stillfast, for service you deserve and people you trust. Brighton Best International, tested, tried, and true. Gerbil Fasteners, quality the first time. Also sponsoring Fully Threaded Radio are Buckeye Fasteners, BTM Manufacturing, Eurolink Fastener Supply Service, Fastener Fair USA, InSequel Software, ND Industries, Parker Fasteners, Vault Industrial Plastics, Worth Industry North America, and Solution Industries, home of Solution Man, and home to people who are going to show us around their warehouse in 2 months.
Dressed in tights and capes, by the way.
Yeah, right. So thanks to all of our sponsors, okay?
Let us know what's on your mind, folks. We love to hear from you. The email address is ftr@fullythreaded.com, and we participate out there on the Twitter sphere where the handle is Fully Threaded.
More Eric participating than me participating, okay?
Yeah, and that ain't saying much.
Especially after last month, you're right.
Yeah, well, that's actually going on. We talked about it's not really a boycott. It's just, I don't know. I guess I'm not really ready to revisit that subject, but I'm still not really dialed in to social at this point. But, you know, getting back to the whole idea of threads and what we've been wearing, what we wear now to the office and what we wore then, you know, we used to always show up to the Vegas show dressed to the nines. I mean, the first years we were always in suits.
Well, that's true. But then again, remember in the very start of this whole thing, the assumption was that we were just a pack of fly-by-nighters because no one could make a business selling anything on the web. It was the view. And it was sort of tough, actually, in the first years. It was very tough. And I can remember it was usually the 2 days at the show in Las Vegas was usually so depressing that your father used to come over and take us all out to a beautiful steak dinner to try and cheer us up. I remember that so well.
I must have blocked some of that out of my memory, Bri, because I don't remember it being quite that bleak, but I do remember we looked really good.
Well, we looked good. You're right. But it was...
We ate well.
You could never get anyone to talk to you. It was just, you know, why would I use the web? It was just really just amazing. But we always finished the show for years with a great steak dinner, okay? I remember that.
Well, we were always celebrating because every time we did it, we made a little bit of progress, and we continue to this day. The shows are very well worth attending. And so I guess it paid off, really, kind of stepping out of like an Excel screw booth look.
Just say now we leave the clothes to George Hunt III and...
Wayne Wishnu.
No.
I'll tell you, I don't know actually how they dress, but their overall look has just been upgraded. I'm talking about Parker Fasteners. Saw some news fly by and looked a little closer. Parker Fasteners, of course, is one of our sponsors for the last couple of years. This past weekend, things became real over there as their office personnel moved into the new long-term facility. Now, the new facility has twice the space. That brings it to about 50,000 square feet, Bri.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're going to have ultimately about 100 people working in there. So in the news release here, I thought it was kind of interesting. They pointed out that employee morale is expected to boost because it's 100% climate controlled in there. And I guess when you're operating in Goodyear, Arizona, that's a huge job benefit.
Right. Well, the Parker Fastener people are known to be pretty well dressed at the shows too, okay?
Well, Matt's always looking pretty sharp.
Yeah, I know.
Let me refresh your memory about Parker, folks. Made in the USA, high-quality fasteners. Parker supplies aerospace, automotive, industrial, and military. And this expansion news is pretty big when you consider they were founded less than 7 years ago only. And I'm reading this off their website, Bri. They say Parker is the first startup in the fastener manufacturing industry in more than 20 years. Huh.
Wow. Well, that says a lot.
Yeah, well, you hear about a lot of them closing. Parker's going the other direction.
Good.
Yep. So the president, Robert Parker, is continuing to forge the future, Bri. For more information, including on Parker's patented lockout drive sockets, check out parkerfasteners.com. Let's take a minute to go change into something a little more comfortable, Bri.
Yeah, I really want to take this tie off, okay?
We'll be back in just a minute. It's Fully Threaded, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Brian and Eric, your online Fastener Talk Radio brothers in thread. Fully Threaded Radio.
At Brighton Best, we continue to expand our wide range of products, including stainless steel and metric fasteners. Our family of brands include Proferred, US Anchor, and Ironclad Performance Wear. BBI has been a trusted partner since 1925. With award-winning hand tools, gloves, and drywall screws, BBI is the largest master distributor of fasteners in the USA. Tested, tried, and true. We are Brighton Best. To learn more about Brighton Best, visit brightonbest.com.
Goble Fasteners presents the Golok Structural Interlocking Blind Rivet, available in aluminum, steel, and stainless steel with diameters 3/16 of an inch, 1/4 inch, and 3/8 of an inch. The Golok is one of the most versatile and common style of structural rivets on the market today. Paired with the Air Power 3 pneumatic tool, this combination proves efficiently robust for truck and trailer applications where the need for heavy-duty fasteners is required. With its high-strength features, it is clear why the Golok is the best-performing structural blind rivet in the market today.
Goble Fasteners. Quality the first time. GobleFasteners.com.
Service, flexibility, innovation. Fully Threaded listeners know that fastener distribution is changing quickly. So this is the mantra you live by to stay ahead of the curve. At Stelfast, we work every day to bring innovation to fastener distributors to keep you competitive. We've made some big changes at Stelfast during the past year, building for the future. And while we build, you can be sure we'll continue to deliver the same great service and personal touch that's made us your trusted partner. Thanks for being a Fully Threaded listener, and thanks for being part of the Stelfast family, where we continue to say, for service you deserve and people you trust, it's Stelfast.
Hi, this is Rob Big Country Reynolds of NSQL Software, coming to you from the 19th hole, and you are listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
Brian and Eric, back with you, trying to help remove some of the day-to-day drudgery you sometimes feel living a predominantly fastener-related lifestyle.
Has that been working for you?
Seems to work for some.
Right.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Actually, we'll take drudgery over sheer terror. And, you know, we have fun on the podcast occasionally with Scrubola, because let's face it, every year we have what seems to be like a flu season. People get knocked down and everything, but nothing compared to what we're seeing right now. And it's just a very troubling scene right now with this coronavirus.
Yeah, a giant mess, you could say.
lots of people in the audience were planning on heading out to the 2020 Taiwan International Fastener Show. Just the other day, we got word from our friend Charles Chang that they were considering pushing off that show, and shortly after, an official announcement was made. I guess this is pretty widely known by now, but the point is, as of mid-February, this thing is just a big unknown, and it's kind of frightening.
Right, though it does seem like the actual incidence per day is dropping, which means that they're containing it, seems to be what they've managed to do, okay?
Let's hope so. I think one of the reasons that people feel so unsure is because they're not sure of the information that they're receiving.
It seems like
we live in a world where nobody really truly trusts what they're reading.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Anyway, the Taiwan show has been rescheduled for October 14th through the 16th. Was looking forward to seeing you out there, Charles. Hopefully we can make it for October. I noticed on Brighton Best's letter to their customers, which came out earlier in the month, that they pointed out the Chinese government had extended Chinese New Year, the festivities, by a week in hopes of keeping people less mobile during that time while they were getting their arms around all this. That seems like a pretty extraordinary measure to take.
Yeah, one could say extreme, actually.
Have you by any chance had any word from your family and friends down under? That's a lot closer.
Yes. No, it isn't. The interesting thing is that there's a huge body of tourism in New Zealand that comes from China, and they haven't had any cases yet, which is sort of strange. Had a few in Australia. I mean, there's so many Australian tourists in Australia that when you get on an aeroplane, you don't have the warning message are in English and Chinese, not in any other language. It's a bit freaky, actually.
An entirely different hemisphere. Do they sell more left-hand fasteners down there?
No.
Never thought of that.
No.
Well, the whole world will be watching this situation for sure, and panicking is never the right thing to do, but it's concerning for sure.
Yep.
Take care of yourselves, everybody. When you're looking for a hard-to-find fastener, get out to fastenersclearinghouse.com, everyone. It's the FCH Sourcing Network. There's about 1.6 million listings out there, Bri, these days, and we are doing some things to vastly expand that number. My prediction is that a year from now, you'll see closer to 5 million listings, hopefully more, and we're doing some things to improve the entire search experience. Bri, you're the godfather of the FCH scrubber software that keeps the whole thing running. You seeing any trends or anything interesting going on this week you'd like to share?
No, one thing that's just a little bit interesting is that, you know, this is close to your heart, of course. What we've had for years is this thing we jokingly call Scroogle, which is the ability to just type in free format the description of some fastener you want and get the system to find it for you. It uses the scrubber technology. And while we've had it, we've never really had it publicly visible. And on our new pages, ones we've put active so far on our site, because the top of every page has got one of these places where you can just free format type in your search. And it's surprising that these people are actually using this. I mean, it's even when we had it possible, people never used it before.
Wait, why is it surprising? The world runs on Google, man. When you're online and you're looking for something, what do? You Google it. When you're looking for a screw online, what do? You Scroogle it.
I know, but this is the fastener industry.
Well, I have a lot of faith in our audience. Anyway, whether I do or not, they're getting younger every day, it seems, and they use that type of an interface naturally, and that's the way of the world. So we're rising to meet it. More fasteners, better ways to find those fasteners. That's FCH. Get out there, fastenersclearinghouse.com. Keep your eyes open because we're building.
Yes, we are.
And all of this folds neatly into our conversation with Ian Heller that's coming up right now, Bri.
Oh, good.
And yes, and in part two, which we'll play during episode 150, we're going to do an exciting on-the-fly consulting segment. That'll be a first for Fully Threaded, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Why don't we kick that off right now?
Yeah.
You only have to go back two episodes, since we heard from Ian Heller last. You might recall he has some very clear ideas on what's going on in terms of industry pressure for distributors. That's most of you in the Fully Threaded Radio audience. So he is back from a very interesting keynote address that he gave in Washington. He's going to tell us a little bit about that. And he's Ian Heller, the founder of Distribution Strategy Group. Ian, welcome back to Fully Threaded.
Thank you, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Tell us all about this NAW gig. This was huge for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was important. You know, the NAW is the National Association of Wholesaler Distributors. They're the parent association for all U.S. distribution associations. And I did the opening kickoff keynote and talked about how AI and marketplaces are really changing the game and changing the future for distributors and how distributors need to take them into account as they formulate their strategy going forward.
Well, that's what you do best. Now, before we get into your thoughts, and I'd like to have you run through what you presented there, but tell us a little bit about the NAW, because I think for a lot of our listeners, you know, this is something that they're not exposed to. We get a little taste of it at some of our regional shows, and then certainly at the national shows, the Vegas and the Fastener Fair. But give us a thumbnail of what it's like to attend NAW.
Yeah, so they have got a lot of different events, but this is their biggest annual event. It's called the Executive Summit. It's really CEOs of major distribution players from across the industry. So, you know, you name the vertical, there's somebody there who runs a huge and probably publicly held distribution company, and all the big private distribution company CEOs are there as well, and also, you know, private equity executives, et cetera. And NAW represents distributors nationwide, and they have a very, very strong lobbying function where they advocate on the Hill on behalf of legislation that is important for distributors. They do quite a bit of publishing of, you know, research and expert content. They have, you know, roundtables for executives. So, you know, there are, I don't know, there's probably 40 or 50 different distribution associations across America, and the vast majority of them roll up into the NAW. So it is the premier parent association for distribution companies in the U.S.
About how many were in attendance at this event?
There are about 300 people in the audience. And so they were, I would say, a mix of CEOs, VPs, and then a handful of people who were from the investment community. There were some people from software companies that support the distribution industry, and then a handful of media types as well.
Right. Well, I'm looking at the lineup of speakers that were there, and there's some real heavyweights. I see John Kaplan from Alibaba was there. They had, of course, everybody's favorite in the fastener industry, at least from ITR Economics, Alan Beaulieu. I always get his name wrong, but he was out there. He's a heavy hitter. And even had a guy from Fox News that was presenting. So, but you got the keynote. How did you land this gig? This is a big score for you, Ian.
Yeah, well, the head of the NAW, Dirk Van Dongen, and the head of, or the chief thought leadership officer, Trish Lilly, saw me present last year at an NAW meeting in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and I guess they liked what I had to say, so they invited me to do the kickoff keynote for this conference. So yeah, it was a big deal for me, but I think, you know, more importantly, a chance to sort of recalibrate the industry on the disruption that is finally here after, you know, 30 years of hearing that it was here and it wasn't. Now it is here. And I made an attempt to explain what that meant and what distributors should do about it.
Okay. So I guess that's a very good invitation for a segue. So let me ask you this. After 30 years of hearing about it, what was the switch that got pulled that let us know we're all confronting directly this pressure? And how did you present that in Washington?
So there are a couple of trends that are converging that are bringing in very large, well-capitalized outside entrants. So one is artificial intelligence, because, you know, Amazon wants to move a major part of the ordering to AI tools like voice ordering and image identification, and, you know, really take the keyboard out of the process. That's why they've got Alexa on your hand, and, you know, you've got Alexa Loop, which you wear as a ring, Alexa in your ears, and Alexa in your eyeglasses. You know, they want Alexa on you and around you 100% of the time. And then that enables ordering without a keyboard, which works to their advantage. Well, that's having the effect of pulling Google into the business, because Google's losing the smart speaker market because they don't have a marketplace like Amazon does. So they've now built one called Google Shopping. and Walmart's got a marketplace. So you've got these marketplaces proliferating that are growing at these unbelievable rates. You know, Amazon grew their business $47 billion last year. That 1 year growth as an independent company would have been number 66 on the Fortune 500 list. And that was just 1 year of their growth.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, as a these marketplaces, and so my, you know, one of my premises is, what if marketplaces are just where most stuff's going to get bought in the future? Because sometimes technology that is really good for your industry at first becomes really bad for your industry later. And the example that I used in the presentation is, look, when digital photography was invented, it was fantastic for the camera makers. Nikon's business, Canon's business, it went through the roof. The market went up like fivefold. And then somebody decided to put digital cameras in smartphones, and digital camera sales are now down 84% in the last decade. So that technology that was so good for the camera makers up front is now not so good for them anymore. What if the e-commerce technology that was so good for distributors up front, because we had the product and the ERPs and the product data and the distribution centers, we could ship all this stuff out. What if it's not so good for us anymore? Because consumers and business buyers are just going to go to marketplaces because it's so easy to get everything you need there. Well, if that's the case, then distributors need to start developing their own marketplace strategies and maybe even their own marketplace. And they need to build out services that are hard to digitize because, you know, one of the things that's true about marketplaces is they hate including people in the value delivery. You know, so a lot of times at these conferences, a speaker will ask the audience, you know, how many of you have an Amazon Prime account? And everybody raises their hands. I asked a different question. I asked, how many of you have ever called Amazon to place an order? Well, nobody raises their hands. They can't even take phone calls. Well, if they can't take phone calls, you know, what about all these other services that distributors do? You know, fabrication and kitting and labeling and repairs and rentals and vending and bin stock replenishment and all the stuff that distributors do, you know, that's stuff that those marketplaces are probably not going to do because it screws up their economics to include people in the value delivery. So I talked a lot about, you know, hey, there's not just an opportunity here. There's a necessity for you to construct these moats around your business by offering these hard to digitize services simply because these marketplaces are probably not going to do that.
Well, you covered a lot of ground with what you just said, and I know you had a much longer period of time to present this when you were giving it at the NAW, and we're going to talk a lot about one part of what you just said during part two of this conversation when we're going to have Kirk Zender join us, and we're going to do sort of an on-the-fly consulting-style conversation with him, and we're going to talk much more about services, aren't we?
Yes.
That's going to be pretty good. I'd like to roll back for a second, though, and think about that idea of AI injecting into this whole thing and your analogy also, to borrow it, of the digital camera. It sounds almost like these Mike Alexa-style devices are the digital camera of the present.
Yeah. Yeah, so what I say is, look, you know, I started off the whole presentation by saying, if it was 1995 and you were formulating strategy for your distribution company, how effective would that strategy be if it didn't account for the internet and e-commerce? Well, it wouldn't be any good to you at all because the whole world was changing. And so if you formulated a strategy that was based on catalogs and phones alone, or, you know, people walking into your branches or calling your sales reps, you'd be missing out on where all the growth was going to be in the industry. Well, today, in my opinion anyway, if you don't understand artificial intelligence and how it's going to transform the world, including distribution, and you don't understand marketplaces, then you can't craft good strategy because there are a whole bunch of things that are about to change that are based in AI and marketplaces that you have to account for if you want to prepare for a rapidly evolving future. And for people who dispute that, I ask, okay, look, Amazon's got a marketplace that sells a bunch of B2B products. Google Shopping has got a bunch of B2B products. I mean, Zorro, the Grainger division sells pretty much everything, at least as far as I can tell, on Google Shopping. They also sell everything on Walmart.com. Home Depot's got item identification and voice identification in their app. They've bought a bunch of MRO distributors. Berkshire Hathaway has bought a bunch of distributors. And they bought, you know, Production Tool Supply, renamed it Berkshire eSupply, and turned it into a sourcing marketplace. So, you know, even if you reject everything else, you have to agree, I think, that when Amazon, Walmart, Google, Home Depot, and Berkshire Hathaway enter your industry, you're being disrupted and you better do something different because those are, you know, some of the largest, most well-capitalized, smartest companies in the world, and they're all pursuing now a slice of the B2B pie. And the thing with distributors is, for the most part, we don't really create demand. We serve demand. We're not inventing new products. There's demand, and we're competing for our slice of the pie. So with all these other players moving in, then that means that there's going to be new cost and new pressure and potentially a lot of consolidation. And by the way, some of these people are also bringing in new logistics resources. You know, Amazon's buying, I don't know, like 125,000 delivery vans over the next few years. What's going to happen to your driver costs? Well, you have to pay drivers, at least until those vehicles are all anonymous, or autonomous.
Oh, stop. No, believe it or not, there's a lot of guys out there who still don't see that coming.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, the and then you've got Uber and these other companies who are offering fractional freight. So delivery and assortment and availability, which is really the core of what distributors do, is getting commoditized by these new competitors. And we haven't seen the effects of this shakeout yet. And, you know, by the way, I've heard the story of, you know, disintermediation and manufacturers are going to do distribution. I never believed any of that at the time. I'm telling you now, disruption is real and you better do something about it as a distributor.
I'm getting that message loud and clear. And that's why we're having you back on the show again, because a lot of listeners in the audience need to hear it. And thank you also for interjecting the word disintermediation into this episode.
You know, it's funny. I made the joke in front of the audience. I said, you know, and when the internet came along, everyone said we were going to get disintermediated. I don't know about you, but I'm still feeling pretty intermediated. And I actually got laughs from that, unlike from you just now. But
yeah. I was going to ask. Okay. Well, I'm weird that way. I actually grabbed that word out of our last conversation and used it for the title of the episode that time.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Had some fun with it. Why not? Well, let's talk about the audience then. What was the audience reaction? Did you get some intriguing questions that you hadn't encountered before? Or what was the NAW's response to this overall?
Yeah. So there were three speakers. There was no Q&A for the three speakers. And then, you know, the Benj Cohen, who's an AI speaker, actually he presented the next day, but after I presented, Alex Moazed, who is a marketplace expert, really, really good, smart guy, he spoke. And then John Kaplan, who's the head of Alibaba, or he's the president of Alibaba B2B and globalization. He spoke and talked about Alibaba's role in all this. So then, Alex and John and I were on a panel that was facilitated by Mark Dancer, who's an NAW fellow and just a really good guy. And then that's when we took the questions. And there were a lot of questions. There was a tremendous amount of interest and engagement. The NAW told me that the ratings have been very, very positive. I haven't seen them yet. I'm going to see them next week. But that's, you know, what they told me. So I'm assuming that the message was well received. And hopefully they're not just being nice when I read them myself.
Okay. Well, yeah, sometimes that real-time reaction is very telling, put it that way.
Yeah.
But okay, well, we'll wait. Maybe for the next recording, you'll have a couple of those in hand and you can share them. Do you feel that since you were the keynote, that the tone you set, did it spill over into the wider conference? I mean, was that really kind of a theme or were you an outlier?
No, I think it was very much the theme. I mean, I was getting ready to head to the airport and a very senior executive with a very, very large distribution company stopped me on the way out and said, you know, I always thought about our digital future in the context of our own website. I never thought about the importance of that website potentially declining versus marketplaces. And I really appreciate it. And I got to think through the implications of that. And that was, you know, I mean, look, it's hard for me to talk about this because I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but, it, you know, I got really positive response and the NAW was very, very pleased. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, I might be wrong on all of this stuff. And 5 years from now, everybody will look back and go, oh, we sure wasted time, you know, pursuing what What's His Toes talked about. But I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, obviously I believe it or I wouldn't have presented it, but, you know, I think that the world is changing very rapidly and disruption is here and distributors, you know, good distributors have a lot of options about what they can do about it, but it's time to get started if you haven't already. And, you know, you mentioned Kirk Zender earlier. I mean, I think there's a company that gets it and is already taking action and, you know, other distributors can do the same thing, but it is time to get moving. And I think that I effectively delivered that message and I think the audience agreed and that was reinforced throughout the rest of the event.
Yeah, they're doing some interesting things over there at Kirk's, at Ernest Machine. And I look forward to this conversation that we're going to have, because once again, everybody, we're going to sit down figuratively and have a virtual consulting conversation where we're going to chew on the idea of services that fastener distributors can be thinking about adding to their offerings to the market, really, as a way to combat all this. And I think there was something else that you said a minute ago, Ian, that sort of made me think. It's important for some of the guys that are listening to us who are just beginning to wrap their minds around this idea of this disruption that's coming. You know, there's still some of you out there that think you're going to sidestep it. But what Ian is talking about is not simply getting all your things onto a web page. We're going to go way beyond that to try to think about this issue so you don't have to ignore it anymore. That's the idea.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I read on a regular basis is that you need to, you know, the way to succeed in the future is to get really, really good with digital technology. You know, you need a CEO who's willing to invest. You need a fantastic website that's user friendly. And then you need to be omni-channel, right? I mean, those are two things. They're great digital tools. You need to be omni-channel. And what I'm saying is that's not enough, and it may not even be correct. And I give you an example. So Staples grew like crazy right through the worst recession in the history of the country. And they did like, I think, $26 billion in sales in 2011. Didn't decline at all during the recession. They made $1 billion that year in net income. 5 years later, through the heart of the biggest economic boom we've ever had, their sales declined by 20-something percent. And they were like $18 billion. And they lost $1.5 billion. So they grew through the recession, and then they got crushed when the recession is over. And in office products, man, those companies had fantastic online capabilities. They could do e-procurement and punch out with anybody. They had terrifically user-friendly sites. They were the definition of omni-channel. Staples had 2,000 stores, huge outside sales force, call centers, catalogs. I mean, they rocked the omni-channel, and they rocked the online capabilities, and they got crushed anyway. So if those are really the ways to grow a business and keep safe and, you know, protect your future in distribution, why didn't it work for Staples? And it's not just Staples, the whole industry, okay? I mean, look, I know office products are very different than other categories of products, but that was the best advice at the time, and it's the best advice now, and I think it's all the wrong advice because it doesn't work. And if I was a CEO, I'd be frustrated with everybody telling me that I'm the problem. Yeah, you're not willing to invest in e-commerce, and you know, and I'd be going, yeah, I spent a fortune in e-commerce. I've yet to see a return. You know, I am omni-channel. It's not seeming to pay off. I think we need to stop blaming the CEOs and start blaming the strategists around distribution, because, you know, the problem, in my view, for Staples was they ran into this marketplace where no matter how convenient it was to buy a lot of stuff on Staples, you know, the easier easy button was buying on Amazon and then Amazon Business. And, you know, for other distributors, even if you're in more complex products than office products, you know, you still need to understand that those, that long tail simple stuff, which probably represents a disproportionate amount of your profit, is going to go to marketplaces for the most part at some point in time, because that's a better way to consolidate POs, reduce your purchase costs, and get everything in one place. And so being omni-channel and great digitally is not enough. That's not good advice.
It makes a lot of sense. Now, there's more of this sort of wisdom available at the website distributionstrategy.com. And Ian, if you could give us a little thumbnail about the distribution strategy group and how you're folding in some of the other things that you do into it, and what we can expect as distribution strategy grows.
Yeah, well, thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, so the URL is distributionstrategy.com. And we're actually rebranding another company called Real Results Marketing, which I actually established that in 2003. Sold it to its current owner, Jonathan Bine, in 2010, and he's done a really nice job growing it. But the reality is that that company is a lot more than marketing now. It does, you know, mostly, or a lot of, almost everything it does is strategic in nature. And so we're going to rebrand that Distribution Strategy Group, and it's really a operating subsidiary of Distribution Strategy, Inc. And so Distribution Strategy, Inc., for now, is going to publish a lot of content. And the way we're going to do business with readers is the content's free. You can sign up for it anytime, and we will email you when there is something new on the site. We're not just going to email you every day for the sake of emailing you every day. So if there's a new feature article, we'll let you know that it's on the site. Then we will have a consulting page. There's already a speaking page on there because we do a lot of keynotes. And then over time, we'll be adding, I'm sure at some point in time, webcasts and, you know, who knows, maybe even live events. And we might find some data we can sell as well. But it's a, you know, it's a new business right now. It's mostly about content. Our goal is to, you know, become, you know, one of the leading voices for distribution in partnership with organizations like the NAW, and provide a lot of thought leadership and get the very best thinkers and writers in distribution published on our site for the benefit of people in distribution who want to formulate good strategies and run great companies.
Well, there's a lot of them in the Fully Threaded audience, so we want to help get this message out because it's an important one. And I think a lot of facets of it are going to unfold as the conversation continues, which it will during part two of this, where we're going to get hands-on with everything.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Pressure is going to be on. I thought you were going to continue. You know, pressure is going to be on, right? I mean, doing live consulting, you know, or real-time consulting, it's like, I better, you know, with a guy like Kirk Zender, who's an absolute expert in his business, I'm going to have to bring my A game to make sure I can, you know, come up with some ideas he hasn't already thought of and either implemented or discarded.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's going to be a kind of a gladiator affair, too. You know, he's got a mind like that. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. Yeah. Thanks for sharing this information with us. And also congratulations for your big keynote. There will be many more. Ian Heller, Distribution Strategy. We'll talk to you in the near future.
Thanks, Eric.
When people think Fastener Talk Radio, they think, huh. But then they think of Fully Threaded Radio. Talk radio for the fastener industry.
Service, flexibility, innovation. Fully Threaded listeners know that fastener distribution is changing quickly. So this is the mantra you live by to stay ahead of the curve. At Stelfast, we work every day to bring innovation to fastener distributors to keep you competitive. We've made some big changes at Stelfast during the past year, building for the future. And while we build, you can be sure we'll continue to deliver the same great service and personal touch that's made us your trusted partner. Thanks for being a Fully Threaded listener, and thanks for being part of the Stelfast family, where we continue to say, for service you deserve and people you trust, it's Stelfast.
Since 1905, Buckeye Fasteners and the Ohio Nut and Bolt Company have been supplying the world with high-quality fasteners. Our standard product lines include weld fasteners, graded weld screws, leg levelers, self-clinching hardware, clevis pins, rivet nuts, and various other fastener lines, allowing us to support virtually all types of industries. BuckeyeFasteners.com. Buckeye Fasteners, more than just weld.
This is Jake Davis with BTM Manufacturing, and for over 50 years, we have been a leading manufacturer of bent wire and threaded products, including U-bolts, single and double end studs, anchor bolts, and many more per print items. Based in the heart of America, Kansas City, Missouri, BTM supports Fully Threaded Radio because they support our fastener industry. Being a part of FTR is almost as good as a hot cup of industry favorite U-bolt blend coffee. And if you still don't know how good that is, call BTM Manufacturing today and find out for yourself. BTM Manufacturing, commitment to service.
Solution Man, Ken.
Solution Man, you're my fastener hero.
Just doing my job, ma'am.
S-O-L-U-T-I-O-N, S-O-L-U-T-I-O-N.
Solution Industry. We are Solution.
Hi, this is Lisa Kleinhandler from Fastener News Desk at FastenerNewsDesk.com, where we bring you all things fascinating. You're listening to Fully Threaded Radio with Eric and Brian.
Hello, Fastener News Hounds. Brian and Eric back with you.
Or even people who are just interested in fasteners.
Yeah, they're always welcome on the podcast, too. It is the news section of the podcast, and we've got Mike McNulty and Jake Davis coming up. They'll be talking about the FDI numbers, which are quite exciting this month, Bri.
Yeah, very interesting movement.
We like to drop a few news tidbits on you before we do get to Mike, though, and this time it involves Jake Davis of BTM Manufacturing. I just learned this, as a matter of fact. I guess I missed the ball with my social media boycott, Bri, but our friend Jake Davis has been elected president of the Southwest Fastener Association, and his VEEP is our other friend, Baron Yarborough of Spring Bolt and Nut.
Wow. We're very well represented in the Southwestern Fastener Association then. It's good.
Yeah, it's a strong association we don't refer to often enough, and I think that's all going to change, if you ask me. We have a lot of listeners down Texas way as well, in the Southwest in general. Might have something to do with your honorary Texan status, Bri. Not sure.
Right.
Another news tidbit that hit the wires here in advance of the bigger news. The Distributor Social is coming up May 7th. That's happening in Independence, Ohio. I got wind of a board meeting that happened last night, Bri, and they're working as usual feverishly. Dave Audia and Marty Nolan are the main drivers, but the whole board is on deck for this one, and they're putting together a list of events that are going to make this thing pretty cool, including an open house by our friends at Solution Industries. So they've got a new facility, as many of you know. They'll be opening their doors on the day of May 7th. That'll be a great way to get things kicked off for the Distributor Social.
I haven't seen their new place.
I haven't made it out there yet. I keep threatening to, but we keep getting diverted. Won't go into that with another diversion. But to make that an even better proposition and more compelling, that morning, Carmen Vertulo and his partner, Rob LaPointe from AIM Test Labs, they're going to be doing a presentation from Solution Industries. So stay tuned to the NCFA website and make sure you get out to the Distributor Social this year. It's definitely one of the highlights of the Fastener Springtime event lineup.
Right.
As is Fastener Fair USA, Bri, which we're going to be discussing in just a minute. The title sponsors of Fully Threaded Radio are Stelfast, Brighton Best International, and Goble Fasteners. And of course, the Fastener News Report will be brought to us by Volt Industrial Plastics. Bob Chiracosta is running Fastener Fair USA this year. It's happening out in Charlotte. Hey, Bob, we haven't talked to you for a while. Welcome aboard.
Well, thanks. Hi, Eric. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Glad to be a part of this episode.
The show and the episode. It's been too long, and it's good to have you back. You've been involved here and there behind the scenes. Actually, you're at all the Fastener Fairs, and this time you're going to be right at the helm.
Yeah, that was a change that was made recently. As you probably know, and most people know, all the Fastener Fairs globally are now owned by Reed Exhibitions. Reed bought all of Mack Brooks, ran quite a few shows in different industries, including all of the Fastener Fairs. And now they're part of Reed. We're quite excited about that because Reed is an enormous company. It's one of the largest trade show companies in the world with over 500 exhibitions around the world.
Wow.
They give us opportunities and they provide resources that we've never had before. We have a lot of people that specialize in different facets of the industry, and I think people will really notice a difference on registering, on the way the show runs, things on the show floor. They bring a lot of different things, and we're really excited about the changes this year.
Well, we always thought the show ran pretty well in the past, so if it's better, it's going to be really interesting.
Well, thank you for that. I was responsible for some of that, but
of course you were.
Reed brings a lot of technology that we didn't have before, and exhibitors will see it in the lead retrievals and the registration and things like that. It'll be apparent.
Well, it's a new venue for Fastener Fair USA. This time, the event's happening May 18th through the 20th. Let's dig right in. Give us the lineup. What's happening?
Well, first of all, we're in Charlotte, and Charlotte, most people know, has established itself as a hotbed for advanced manufacturing, particularly in aerospace and automotive. There's an awful lot of manufacturing in the Southeast, and we thought that we would try to have the show down there this year. A lot of people asked for it, and we think it's going to be very successful. Show has grown every year, and we expect this one to be bigger again, and Charlotte has welcomed us to come. One thing that Charlotte allows us to do that we're really excited about is our networking party. We've got quite a few accolades and people have given us great response that we've run the great networking party. And this year it is going to be at the NASCAR Hall of Fame, which is located right next to the convention center. People can just walk right over after the show. So we're looking forward to that. We think everyone will really like that. If you're a NASCAR fan, you know, you're in the It's great. If you're not a NASCAR fan, it's still really interesting. And I'm not. It's still a really interesting venue. The cars, the history of NASCAR and racing, and it's all right there for people to see. It should be a good night.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to drag Brian away from that. Believe me.
Yeah,
I'm
well,
a lot of
people have said that. Yeah, well, then you're going to love it. And up on the second floor, there's millions of fasteners up there. It takes everything apart, you know, and it's all fasteners. The other thing that's different this year is our educational program. We've really expanded it. It's going to be the largest educational content, or the most we've ever had. May 18th, the day before the show floor opens, we have our conference day. Then on May 19th through 20th, the 2 days of the exhibition, we have educational content on the show floor stage all day long. And the stuff, the conferences on the show floor are free to everybody that's there. There is a charge for the day before educational content. And on the 18th, there's three tracks. The first one is the Fastener Training Institute. They present a full day course of Fastener 101. This has been the most popular thing we've done as far as training goes. It's really a great program for people new to the industry that just want to learn what fasteners are all about. And it's gotten accolades. And last time it doubled from what it was the first time.
I have to say one thing about Fastener Fair. You guys seem to do a very good job of getting people into those educational sessions and the breakout sessions and stuff. I don't know. You've got some magic pixie dust for that.
Well, we spend a lot of time looking into what people want to learn and what they want to know about. And if something works, you know, we'll build on it. If something doesn't work, we'll move on to something else. Another advantage of Reed is we have a full-time person planning all the educational content and contacting people and doing all of that work, which is a huge job. And now we have a dedicated person for that.
Wow.
So as I said, there's three tracks on that first day. Another track is we're calling it Fasteners and the Smart Factory. And we're focusing on topics such as ERP for fastener firms, 3D print and design to production, structures for e-commerce, and data tracking and traceability. And then the third one, Paul Riley is going to present a full day of value-added selling techniques, and Midwest Fastener Association is going to be involved with that one as well. That's the training part of the first day. And then that afternoon, there's going to be a plant tour in the afternoon, and that'll wrap up the day, and I think people will like that as well.
Right on. We're talking with Bob Chiricosta of Fastener Fair USA. Again, this show's happening May 18th through the 20th, Charlotte, North Carolina. And I should have mentioned it earlier, Bob, the website for all this is fastenerfairusa.com. So we're talking about the educational tracks, the events. You got the welcome party. The floor is going to be packed as usual. I'm taking it. And please go on. There's got to be more. I know you guys.
Well, the following day, Tuesday and Wednesday, free on the show floor, the education continues, and there'll be the topics there are going to be one on imports and exports, one on defense logistics, one on 3D metal printing, fastener design, and we're going to have two town hall panels, one on tariff updates and the new NAFTA and impact on the workforce, and the other one is going to be on human resources and career development. So that's the educational content. As you can tell, it's much broader than it's ever been before.
Yeah, given all the talk about how hard it is to get people into the industry, especially younger people, the HR one will be interesting, okay?
Yeah, that is. And I know that our Fastener 101 program has been really popular, and we get positive feedback on that every year. So we're continuing to do that with the Fastener Training Institute.
Bob, it sounds like it's a very full show. How are things ramping up for this so far? What should people do right now?
Well, registration is just about to open. And when it's open, people can start to register. They can sign up for the educational content on the education day, the day before. They can register for the show. And we have exhibitors that haven't signed up yet. They can go online and contact us and sign up for a booth. The show is very full, but there are still some good spots left, and there'll be room for everyone. And the convention center is large, so we won't turn anyone away. If we get more and more people, we'll just expand the into another hall if need be. So we'll get everyone in, but it's filling up and it's looking good. It's looking to be a great show, and we're excited about Charlotte and the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And I think the show will be good.
Well, I've never been to Charlotte, and I look forward to going there. And I'm sure we'll find things that interest me just like I did in Detroit last year, okay?
You always find things to do, Bri, while you're enlightening people about the wisdom of the scrubber.
Right.
There's a lot to do in Charlotte. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a great city.
I'm looking forward to that, actually.
Well, Bob, once again, folks are going to get out to fastenerfairusa.com, take advantage of the early registration, and that's where they can contact you if they're interested in more details, sponsorship opportunities, and so forth. And before we get on to the news, I got to ask you, we were talking off mic, and I just want this to be recorded for posterity, but Brian and I were discussing on the podcast a few episodes back the possibility of running a contest, and this was going to be based on your website and the photos. We were going to have a photo contest, and then you pulled the rug out from under us, or maybe you didn't. Fastener Fair's not mad at Brian and Eric, right?
Never, no. I think I know what happened, though. Mac Brooks had its own website development people that developed the website. And then once it was taken over by Reed, Reed has all in-house website people and design, and they put it into their template rather than the template it was in. But if we can figure out what photo you were using, I'll be sure to get that back on the website. I think it was a great idea. About how many people you think were in that photo?
There was quite a few.
it was an overhead view of the reception in the General Motors building. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all water over the bridge right now. But it was kind of fun, and I was just having some fun with that, Bob. I guess it's just part of a large company working with a small company, and some of the interesting things that happen. And believe me, Brian and I are no strangers to those.
Yeah, no, I like the idea, though. I like the idea of having the contest. I think that's a fun thing to do.
When we try and come up with them.
Well, cool. Well, I look forward to seeing everyone in Charlotte, okay?
We have a customary introduction, and if you'd care to do the honors.
I'd be happy to, Eric. And now with news you can use about screws is Mike McNulty. Did it? I thought I had it right.
Perfect, Bob. Talk to you in Charlotte.
Thanks, Bob. This is Mike McNulty from Fastener Technology International Magazine, bringing you the Fastener News Report, which is sponsored by Volt Industrial Plastics, makers of the world's finest plastic fasteners. The last month has been good for professional football fans like me, as the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years, the Cleveland Browns hired a whole new slate of experienced and successful coaches, and the XFL launched its first week of fairly entertaining football games. But I am still focused on fasteners and ready to deliver today's Fastener News Report. In this episode, Jake Davis of ISCO Incorporated and BTM Manufacturing joins us to reveal the latest results of the Fastener Distributor Index, also known as the FDI. Also in today's broadcast, we have our top story on Ernest Machine and National Threaded Fasteners, as well as newsmaker headlines from industry leaders including Endries, High Tech Fasteners, Bassard, EFC, Edsco Fasteners, Consolidated Aerospace Manufacturing, Wesco, Optimus Solutions, Brighton Best International, and Specialty Screw Corporation. On the back page report, we're going to talk about crude oil production. We'll get to all of that and the latest FDI results right after this.
There's a reason Volt Industrial Plastics is an industry leader in plastic clip, clamp, and custom fastener manufacturing. With over 100 million parts in stock that can be shipped the same day, Volt has some of the fastest lead times in the industry. Volt can do color. We have the capability of molding over 120 different materials and can color match for specific applications. You need it? We can build it. At Volt, we have state-of-the-art technology to build prototypes to customer specs. And although some companies provide similar products, we offer customer service that's second to none, setting us apart from our competition. And now available, Volt's new light-duty cable clamps. With maximum diameters ranging from 3/16 to a half inch, these clamps are ideal for hard-to-reach spaces, electronics, and finish work. They prevent corrosion with metal tubing, and with plastic tubing, they won't bind or warp, preventing leaks while maintaining the flow of liquids. Volt Industrial Plastics, the finest, fastest plastic fasteners in the world. Visit us at voltplastics.com.
At Worth, status quo isn't an option. Worth is a global supply chain solutions provider of fasteners, MRO, and safety products, along with value-added services like kitting and assembly, 3D printing, and engineering assistance. Find out what Worth can do for you at worthindustry.com.
Mike McNulty.
The seasonally adjusted fastener distributor index for January was 51.4, a nice rebound from December's sluggish result of 44.4. Fastener distributor index data is collected and analyzed by the FCH Sourcing Network, the National Fastener Distributors Association, and Baird. The FDI seeks to identify demand, pricing, and outlook trends within the American fastener distribution industry. To get some insights on these results, we talked to Jake Davis, president of ISCO Incorporated and BTM Manufacturing. He's also the president of the Southwest Fastener Association and an MWFA board member. Hi, Jake. Thanks for joining us on the Fastener News Report.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm watching the snow come down in Ohio, so it's finally feeling like winter here.
Well, we're coming off a pretty good couple weeks here in Kansas City with the Chiefs, so we're everybody's can't figure out what day it is at the moment, but we're back at it selling fasteners.
Well, that good feeling will last a long time, I'm sure, and it was quite a comeback, and I think most in the country enjoyed it.
Anybody but the Patriots, right?
And the 49ers. But it was good stuff. So anyways, back to business. What do you think about these latest FDI results?
You know, I didn't expect them to be this good, honestly. You know, just in with that, the fourth quarter of 19 is never really a great time for our industry. But to rebound, as you said, as strong as we did, I think it speaks volumes to where our industry is headed. I think the outlook aspect of it, which we can touch on later, speaks to that as well. There's optimism in the industry, and to be that busy and that big of a jump, I just, like I said, speaks well.
Yeah, I was surprised too. I know we had a couple months below 50, and now we're back up over the 50-point mark, which indicates growth. So I was surprised that it jumped back so quickly as well. And you mentioned the outlooks. We can jump into that. That the six-month outlook improved to 33% of the people responding expecting business to be higher 6 months down the road, 50% expecting it to be about the same, and only 17% expecting it to be lower. So that's probably the best results on that outlook that we've had in over a year and a half. So that was a nice surprise as well.
Yeah, one caught my attention. I had circled it when I was just looking at it over the weekend. And you get over 80% of the fastener industry being that optimistic. And like I said, that I think that bodes well. We're not normally an optimistic group. But the fact that you get 80% of us thinking things are going to be the same or higher bodes well.
Maybe there was a lot of Chief fans in there. They're just optimistic.
There could have been.
Well, I think, you know, some things happen. You know, you had there's some report about manufacturing improvement at a level not seen for a while after it being slowing down. We had automotive slowdown in that, but maybe that those things have all shaken out. Maybe that's what, you know, people are like, now we're going to move forward and have to fill some inventory.
Yeah, the one thing that stuck out to me was the inventory. Customer inventories was the lowest it had been in some time. I just wonder when our customers are going to be interested in putting more on the shelves and putting a lot of faith in the distributors, and as well they should. But, you know, 41.7 is way, way down there, in my opinion. We all want them to buy a little bit more and invest a little bit more for that stock.
Yeah, I saw another note that the FCH Sourcing Network website inventory search volume increased in January as well. So people are a little more active this month than they were at the end of last year. So that's good news.
Yeah, I don't think much work happened those with the holidays being, you know, back to back weeks on Wednesday. We had some people on vacation, so it didn't feel like a slowdown for us in the office. But the aspect of it, you had a lot of people shut down for the holidays and that. And like I said, everybody came back on fire for January. You could see right. That in the numbers.
It's like we got to get back to work. So that might be part of it. But let's jump into the forward-looking indicator. Also rallied and expanded to growth territory for the first time since April of 2019, you know, almost a year, about three quarters. And it came in at 50.9. So I think that's also bodes well for the industry. You hearing the same thing from customers and colleagues and that, or?
Yeah, just in the travels. You know, I traveled a little bit in December, a little bit in January. And December is not the best month to travel from a work standpoint, just because people are normally slow, of course. But you're kind of catching up on just how the quarter is ending. And a lot of, again, optimism, a lot of busyness. Some of the manufacturers that I did visit, you can see softer within that aspect of it. And I think you'll see that in the first quarter. With everything that I've kind of read and heard, I think first quarter 2020 on the manufacturing side is going to be a bit tepid. But once we get into the second and third quarter, I think things are going to be much better for manufacturing as well. So I just think there's optimism, you know, stock market, economy. I had just seen added over 225,000 jobs in January.
I saw that.
You're not adding jobs unless you're doing something right as an economy, as a whole.
And unemployment down to 3.6%. I mean, it's incredible. And also, you know, like, you know, formalizing or ratifying of these trade deals in North America as well as China, giving some concessions are positive things. But I imagine if we have a prolonged coronavirus thing, that could have some global impact. So that's the X factor.
Yeah, that was interesting. I know Brighton had put out a press release here in the last couple of days, and interesting to read that. And one of those things you don't really think about, it's not going to affect you over here in the United States, but the majority of our commodity fasteners are coming from China. And just how is that going to affect pipelines? So,
right.
We don't want to think about it, but you certainly have to do that.
Yeah, and it may even lead to some opportunities for other folks. So,
absolutely, yeah, they make a very good point.
See what happens. Now, let's move on to the comments section of the report. The respondent commentary was still kind of, you know, skewing maybe negative or flat. And one comment was starting the year with a flat month for January. Another one commented auto sector is trending lower. Not surprised with that. Yeah, but it's still at 17 million units in North America, which is still pretty darn good. And then another comment, finding qualified sales staff is challenging and hampering growth, which that seems to be a perpetual problem for everyone that I talk to.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're kind of in the hiring mode right now, and I can speak to that, a little bit of frustration, that you can get a lot of resumes pretty quickly. It's then the aspect of qualifying those resumes. But I think a lot of the places and trade shows and that I've attended, hiring is always at the top of the topics, just on how do we figure out, how do we make ourselves a more attractive company? How do we keep the millennial around, so to speak? I think the best thing outside of the 50, you know, the 51.4 number is just really the outlook to me, the optimism of that.
Yeah, that's very bullish. So that should bode well. I mean, on the, you know, going back to the job thing, I've been hearing this a long time. We're talking about what are we doing wrong? I don't know if we're doing anything wrong. It's just, you know, it's, I heard somebody, I was at a conference for another industry just this week, and one guy was talking about, you know, not everybody who needs, you know, wants to work in manufacturing needs to go to college. And that's to me, it's like right on the money. You know, you don't have to go to college to get involved with working in manufacturing and get some training and learn the jobs and move up the ranks, get into management, do some different things. Lots of ways to get involved, and lots of opportunities for people that are willing to work. I think they get kind of pushed into places where they don't need to go.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on parents, and I think even and being one, and kids of going to college.
Right.
And I think as each year goes, and I've got a daughter that's a senior at the University of Arkansas, and I've got a son that's trying to decide. So we're kind of in that mix, but I think it's important. I don't think it's as important.
All right. Well, good. Yeah. I mean, this is surprisingly good news for everybody in the industry starting out, moving into the second month of the year, heading into the middle of the first quarter. To finish up, you mentioned a little bit about your hiring things, but anything else going on at ISCO and BTM?
Sure. You know, ISCO, we've seen some growth. We're kind of in about the third or fourth month of adding a new customer. So we're kind of looking to add kind of to our sales force, and then a couple in our warehouse. So it's an exciting time for us. BTM, you know, finished the year strong. Again, I think we see some softness on the manufacturing side of things a little bit, but I kind of look at it, you know, January, 2020 versus January 19, kind of year over year, and just kind of compare month by month. And we've just been trending well over the last couple of years. So we're just going to continue to, again, try and get better.
Now, geographically, what is, tell our listeners where ISCO and BTM are located.
Both in the Kansas City metro area. ISCO is in Lee Summit, which is about 25 minutes from downtown Kansas City. We've been here in Lee Summit since 1986. And my father, my parents started ISCO in 74. And we're really somewhat of a regional fastener distributor, Missouri and Kansas. BTM, we had purchased in January of 13. And certainly we can sell nationwide and certainly trying to do so. But that's at times harder. It doesn't come easy. There's good competition out there. Yeah. But we feel like being in Kansas City, we can really kind of get our parts done and anywhere in a couple days, 2 to 3
reach
days
all
max.
Four directions.
Yep.
East, west, north, south.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned competition, and that's a good thing. I think that makes, you know,
absolutely,
as you saw in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, we needed it to get our acting gear.
Right. Also, you're the president, newly elected president of the Southwest Fastener Association, and then you recently joined the MWFA board. Anything you want to mention about those two groups?
Yeah, SFA, I'm kind of in my third year, and you know, was joined on as a board member and asked me to be VP and just the progression of VP into president. Neil Gordon's our chairman, Carrie Bailey, our executive director. We've got an event coming up here last week of February, kind of similar to the North Coast. What they do, the social that Marty does so well at, we're going to kind of imitate that. And we're going to go to Spring Bolt on Wednesday afternoon, take a tour Thursday. We'll have our board meeting and have a panel discussion late Thursday afternoon going into the social event on Thursday night at the Omni Hotel in Houston. And then Friday, we've got golf scheduled. Not really going to do a big, you know, tournament or anything like that, but just allow us a little bit more networking to go on Friday morning before people head out.
Mm-hmm.
And then just eager to be joining the MWFA. Always kind of wanted to be on. It's a great group of people that kind of stalwarts of the industry. And, you know, we've got a dinner coming up on February 20th. Economic dinner and with Bill Strauss. And then I think in April, I don't have the date off of, we're celebrating kind of 74 years.
Yeah, I saw that.
And getting back some of the old crew back with the Chicago Bolt and Nut Association. So looking forward to that and hanging out with those people.
Yeah, well, those are two good groups. The SFA event sounds like you've done some nice planning there. And the MWFA is starting their 75th year celebration early by celebrating the 74th year.
Yeah, I think we're going to just do it all year long.
Yeah, 1 year long party. And in the middle there, they got the tabletop show in the Chicagoland area coming up in June.
Yep, in June.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it'll be busy. I've kind of got some shows in there as well. PAC West, NFDA. I'm heading out there first week of March. Yep.
That looks like a
Long
good event.
Beach. And I've talked to many that says that's a very good tabletop. So excited to exhibit out there and just continue to support the associations.
Yeah, that show, we've got a preview on that tabletop show out in California coming up in the February-March issue, which goes should be coming online and in the mail at the same time as this episode airs. So you can see the list on there in that issue. All right. Well, great. Well, you know, I want to thank you for joining us. This is your first time doing the Fastener Distributor Indexed analysis, and appreciate you shedding some of your insight on it and also bringing us up to date with ISCO, BTM, the SFA, and the MWFA.
Mike, I appreciate the opportunity to get on with you.
That was Jake Davis. He's the president of ISCO Incorporated and BTM Manufacturing. He's also the president of the Southwest Fastener Association and an MWFA board member. The FDI number for January 2020 was 51.4 versus 44.4 the previous month. Visit FDISurvey.com to participate in the process and get a detailed PDF copy of Baird's monthly analysis. Now for today's top story. Kirk Zender, CEO of Ernest Machine, and Kenneth Graham, CEO of National Threaded Fasteners, also known as NTF, sent a letter to customers, which was posted online at the Fastener News Desk, to announce that NTF was purchased by Ernest Machine at the end of January 2020. The letter stated that the owners of both companies have been friends for many years and that the timing was right for this transition. In addition, customers were told that Ernest Machine will continue to deliver products and services that have been purchased from MTF, as well as at the NTF facility in Perry, Ohio, was scheduled for closure on February 12, 2020, with inventory and operations relocated to Ernest facilities in Indianapolis and Atlanta by February 19th. Kathy Marazzi, NTR President, and Nikki Muniz, NTR Inside Sales, are both continuing to work with Ernest to support the transition. Kirk Zender provided us with some comments on this news in the following soundbite.
So over the last few years, Ernest has been really investing a lot into our business to make it run better. And that would be from everything from purchasing strategies to selling structures, our marketing, the technology that runs everything, and our distribution operations. So all of that work has finally put us in a great position. And buying National Threaded Fasteners really allows us to step into that growth that we're excited for, ready for, and eager to accomplish.
Next up, today's Fastener Newsmaker headlines. In acquisition news, Andries has acquired Fastener Service Corporation. High Tech Fasteners opened a newly renovated and expanded distribution facility just outside of Toronto. Bessard Group has increased its stake in Torp Fasteners from 60 to 100%. EFC expanded its product line by partnering with Springfield Spring and Stamping. Middle Ground Capital has completed its acquisition of Edsco Fasteners. Consolidated Aerospace Manufacturing, also known as CAM, has been acquired by Stanley Black & Decker. And Wesco International is acquiring Anixter International for $4.5 billion via a merger agreement. Personnel news. Optimus has appointed three industry executives to the company's leadership team, including Mark Strankwist as president of the Americas, Mike Tuffy as president of International, and Kate Daly as senior vice president of Global Human Resources. Tolga Bayratkar and Oliver Gratzel have joined the RIBE group of Germany to strengthen the management team. Yvonne Martinez is the new Los Angeles Assistant Branch Manager at Brighton Best International. And Russ Johansson, owner of Specialty Screw Corporation, presented the President's Award to Lance Owen for his outstanding service. You can get details on all of these stories and more in Fastener Technology International Magazine and the Fastener News Report newsletter, both available online at fastenertech.com. Finally, let's turn to the back page to talk about crude oil production. If you listen to the Democratic primary candidates and or celebrities at the latest movie and television award shows, then not only will you think that the USA is fundamentally a bad place and the economy is in shambles, but that anyone involved in crude oil exploration, production, or use is intrinsically evil, stupid, greedy, a pawn of dangerous oil-producing countries, or all of the above. So to this, I offer two replies. First of all, not only do we get many non-gasoline fuels from oil, such as kerosene, but there are a surprising number of non-fuel products that are made from crude oil, including vulcanized rubber, epoxy, nylon, thermoplastics, vinyl, Teflon, petroleum jelly, crayons, candles, wax paper, moisturizers, antiseptics, hair dyes, pharmaceuticals, asphalt, and sunscreen. Secondly, the USA is a major producer of crude oil, and according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, also known as the EIA, the United States is on schedule to be an 800,000-barrel net exporter of crude oil this year and a 1.4-million-barrel net exporter in 2021. I'm a fan of innovation and sustainable fuels and sources of energy, but let's not put our head into the sand regarding the good uses and sources of crude oil and other fossil fuels, like natural gas, and let's not be naive about how electricity is produced or that battery materials like cobalt, nickel, and lithium all come from the ground, the same place where we get crude oil. This has been Mike McNulty of Fastener Technology International bringing you the Fastener News Report. Please send your news, pictures, comments, corrections, or complaints to me at McNulty@fastenertech.com.
Global Fasteners presents the GoLock Structural Interlocking Blind Rivet, available in aluminum, steel and stainless steel with diameters 3/16 of an inch, 1/4 of an inch and 3/8 of an inch. The GoLock is one of the most versatile and common style of structural rivets on the market today. Paired with the AirPower 3 pneumatic tool, this combination proves efficiently robust for truck and trailer applications where the need for heavy-duty fasteners is required. With its high-strength features, it is clear why the GoLock is the best-performing structural blind rivet in the market today.
Global Fasteners. Quality the first time. GlobalFasteners.com.
Hey mates, Brian Muscat. Regardless of the required size, material or finish, Eurolink has the European resources to meet your demands for hard-to-find metric fasteners. We're the one-stop source for all of your metric needs, saving you time and money searching for these parts while fulfilling all of your requirements. How do we do it? Eurolink offers access to more than 100,000 quality C-class parts with the ability to solve your toughest metric fastener supply issues every time. Hard-to-find metric fasteners? Delivered. Just think of us as your heavy metal rock stars. To learn more about how we can rock your world or request a hassle-free quote online, visit EurolinkFSS.com. That's EurolinkFSS.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Carmen Bertullo coming to you from the Fastener Training Institute and AIM Testing Laboratory, which is in beautiful downtown El Cajon, California, bringing you the Fastener Training Minute. Today's topic is galvanized heavy hex nuts. There are some problems that we occasionally run into with galvanized heavy hex nuts, and they come in a couple of different varieties. When we return, I'll tell you what you need to know about galvanized heavy hex nuts.
Thanks, Carmen. This is Joe Morris with the Fastener Training Institute. Wow, we are off to a really, really busy 2020, and we're so excited. We're going to be launching a brand new single-day certified fastener specialist program in Chicago this spring. So for those of you who have always wanted to become a certified fastener specialist, but you cannot afford the time to take an entire week off of work, now you have the chance. Join us for 5 single days of training in Chicago or Los Angeles. Take the test at the end, and you too can become a certified fastener specialist. Our first class of this series is going to be on March 23rd, Fastener Specifications and Terminology. In this course, attendees learn about consensus standards that govern the fastener industry and receive a deep-down, thorough understanding of the terms and definitions used in fastener specifications. The next class will be on April 7th. It is Understanding the Bolted Joint. This class provides a critical foundation to learning how bolts work and understanding bolting considerations for specific applications. Moving on to the next class of this series will be in May 4th, Dimensional and Material Specifications. This is an in-depth study of the most common inch and metric dimensional and material specifications for nuts, bolts, and screws. Following that, we're going to present on June 8th, Fastener Quality Assurance and Print Reading. This hands-on training teaches about sampling plans and instrument calibration, including how to use prints and specifications for inspection. At the end of this, to complete your CFS series, you can join us in either Cleveland, Chicago, or Houston for fastener manufacturing plant tours. I so hope that 2020 is the year for you to obtain your CFS designation, which is still the esteemed title of this fastener industry. So to learn more about this class and all of our classes and webinars, please visit our website at fastenertraining.org or email me at jom@fastenertraining.com. Now back to Carmen.
Well, Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Carmen Bertullo with the Faster Training Minute. Today, talking about galvanized heavy hex nuts. Galvanized heavy hex nuts come in a couple of different flavors in the inch world primarily. And at the lower end of the scale, they come from ASTM A563, grade A or O, and these are typically used with lower strength fasteners, such as carriage bolts or A307 hex bolts, relatively low cost. We don't have a lot of trouble with those. On the other end of the scale, at high strength levels, from ASTM A563, we have grade DH heavy hex nuts, galvanized, and these are used with things like ASTM A325 structural bolts. These hot dip galvanized nuts are over-tabbed. That means that when they're manufactured, the nut is made complete without the threads, then it's galvanized, and then it's tabbed slightly oversized in order to accommodate the galvanizing that's going to be on the threads of the mating bolt. Typically, this nut is mated with a washer and a bolt and sold as an assembly, but not always. Additionally, the nuts may have some wax on them, and that wax is to help the torque-tension relationship because of the roughness of the galvanizing on the threads. They don't always have wax, and the wax is not a requirement, contrary to most opinion. It's only required if asked for, but most manufacturers will automatically wax these A563 DHX nuts because they know the application where they're going to be used. So what's the problem? The problem is there's another standard, ASTM A194, which contains a very similar nut called a 2H heavy hex nut. And that nut is primarily used in its plain condition for high temperature pressure assemblies used with A193 grade B7 bolts. Because this nut is so common and is so similar to the grade DH nut from A563, we're allowed to substitute it. A563 says clearly it's okay to use the 2H nut from A194 as a substitute. The problem is this: A194 prohibits the galvanization of this heavy hex nut, unless the customer specifically asks for it. And the other issue is that the rating for load of the two nuts is different. The A194 2H nut has a maximum load rating of 150,000 PSI, and the A563 DH nut, both in their plain form, have a maximum load rating of 170,000 PSI, and that's what they're tested at. Now, when we galvanize the A563 nut, they make an accommodation for that, and they downrate it to 150,000 PSI. So sometimes when we're testing these nuts, whether they are over-tapped or not can make a big difference in whether or not they're able to withstand the proof load pressure that is required. When we get them out into the field, most of the time they work just fine and nobody cares or can tell the difference. But when we get them into the test lab, that's where we have an issue. So be careful when you're specifying a galvanized heavy hex nut. I recommend that when we galvanize heavy hex nuts, we stay with ASTM A563 and don't use the A194 substitute. I know there would be a lot of pushback on that because it's very common out there in the world, but when we do it, let's make sure that we understand that these nuts have different testing requirements. If I could rewrite the standard, I would say something in A194 such as, whenever we use this A194 2H nut in place of the A563 DH nut, it must only meet the requirements of A563 DH, and it no longer needs to meet the requirements of A194 2H. They probably should maybe consider dual marking these nuts. That would be another idea. Well, that's what we have to tell you today. I know it sounds very complicated. It's actually very simple, but galvanized heavy hex nuts can sometimes be a problem. Thanks for listening. This has been Carmen Bertullo with the Fastener Training Minute.
Hey, this is David with ND Industries. You're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
Brian and Eric, back with you. You said, I think during the last episode, Brian, that you were going to try to attend more MWFA events. Is that still the case, or?
Yeah, I had a pretty ratty session on it last year. Every single day that was an event, we'd already pre-booked something from a year before, so it was a real mess.
Wait, you're not blaming Lynn for this, are you?
Partially. Things look better this year, though, okay?
All right. Well, we're going to get into that a little bit more because we've got two folks from the MWFA right now that have a pretty cool event we're going to discuss. Paula Evitz is the new president of the MWFA, and GH3, George Hunt with BBI, is also on board. They're with us now to talk about the MWFA and other great fastener subjects. Hey, guys, thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
That's right. It's our pleasure.
Now, Paula may have used the handy mute feature that's available with our new recording platform, but I think she's still with us. Are you there, Paula?
Hi, guys. We're going to give you a lot more reasons to come out this year.
Good.
Good. Thank you. As if we needed more, though, right?
It's always good to get out.
We should probably get a fishing event or something else along the lines like that so Brian could jump aboard.
Oh, if you only knew how my morning went today, George.
Interesting you should say that, George, actually.
Yeah, we talked a little bit earlier in the episode about the big NCFA walleye fishing event we've got going on. These things just don't fall out of the air, George. Put it that way.
No, but I'm sure with your industry prowess and your love of fishing, you'll put together something that we can all benefit from.
It's coming together. Yes, it is. Now, did you have a hand in putting together that big Brighton Best open house that was at the New Cleveland Distro Center? That was huge, man. And it went seamlessly.
It was a team effort, but yes, I was involved, and it was great. It was great to really unveil our facility to the industry and especially to the greater Cleveland area, and just goes to show you that there are more networking events that keep our people closer and closer together, and that's really what makes this great market go around. So yeah, we were pretty excited about it. Looking forward to the event for the NCFA has upcoming, and looking forward to touring Solutions' new pad as well.
Right. That's one of the big things that's happening at the NCFA Social this year, that big Solution Industries tour. And but getting back to the BBI open house that you had last year, wouldn't it be cool if we got that same barbecue place to cater the fishing tournament? Wow. If I only had another body to help me with this.
Well, It sounds like you're reaching out.
Don't get
trapped,
George.
I'd be more than happy to help.
Well, the only reason I bring it up is because I was looking at Twitter the other day. I saw this photo fly by of the MWFA board. Now, this thing was, it was colossal. This was one of the finest fastener industry photographs I've ever seen, to tell you the truth. And here it was. It's black and white. This would have made any White House propagandist proud, you guys. Because, George, you were in it. Of course, Paula, you were at the table. You looked extremely professional. You had a large stack of binders, laptops. Nancy was there. Jake Davis, this thing was great. You know, it looked like the Cuban Missile Crisis or when they were pretending that they took Bin Laden out or something like that. One of those kind of photos. It was huge. Who was the photog on that?
Was it Rich?
I believe that was Rich. It was Rich Cavoto.
Cavoto? Wow.
Of course. Take our board meetings very seriously.
He does. He's kind of like our historian. He likes to, take the pictures and make sure that everybody knows we're just not a pretty face. We actually get down and dirty when we have to.
Wow. Yeah, well, a little further down the same thread, George, there's a shot of you, and I think you've got an outfit on where you crossed Argyle and plaid. Is that cool?
It's only cool if you can... If you can do it.
George can pull it off. So few. Absolutely.
If you can pull it off, then pull it off.
Right. Yeah, you can do that, but I'm afraid I can't, okay?
Argyle and plaid. I'm not the fashion consultant on this podcast, but tell us. Come on. Is that really? Is that a thing?
It's not, but you got to, conventional wisdom has to be damned if you want to set trends. It's all about confidence, Eric. You know that. You just got to be confident in what you have and what you can provide to the industry. And who cares what other people think? Just go with it.
I have the greatest respect for how you pull it off. And I think Paula was right. If anybody could do it, it's UGH. So,
well, that's another question. I don't know if I could pull it off, but I just do it.
Okay.
Now, is there a lot of tension over there at the MWFA? Because we've got another fashion plate over there. Bob GQ Bear is who I'm talking about. Is there a little tension there?
Well, Paula Paula wields a pretty heavy stick over there. She's done a great job this year of keeping us in check, but definitely they're, you know, not just Bob, but, you know, Wayne's a pretty snappy dresser as well. And, you know, Jake can hang with the GQ professionals when he wants to as well. So
Jake holds his own.
He does. We've got some snappy dressers on the board. That's for sure.
The lottery ain't bad either.
Yeah. Matt brings his own flavor. That's for sure.
Yeah. The MWFA, the best dressed of all the fastener associations. I think we've got a new moniker, guys.
Could be a good one.
Well, getting back to that black and white photo of you at your meeting, I mean, this board is obviously a group who's taken things seriously in your driving, the association. Paula, congratulations on assuming the presidency. Let's see, this is what, January you took the office?
Yes.
Okay, good.
But you've been part of the MWFA, geez, way back. I mean, I've been with it for 14 years. You were there then. So you've been associated with MWFA forever.
Yeah, it's a great organization, and you know, we really have an amazing board, so it's an honor to work with this talented group.
And it's based on a great city, okay?
That's true. And there's another thing I have to ask you about, George, because you and I have something that we could probably touch base on before we get into the meat and potatoes of this conversation. That is that we did a reverse commute, sort of. So a couple of years back, you made the switch from being a Cleveland boy to Chicago. You're in the West Burbs out there. I'm a West Burbs Chicago guy transplanted to Cleveland. So we should compare notes next time we get together.
Yeah, we should. It's kind of interesting how that happened, right? I mean, as soon as I came out, you know, west, you went back out east. So it was kind of interesting how that all worked out. But knowing your love of, you know, Chicago, the Chicagoland area, and my love for Cleveland, the Clevelanders, we always have a lot in common, a lot to talk about. And, you know, I'll keep things okay here at home for you, and you do the same for me out there.
Yeah, because God knows Brian's not doing it. I'm just kidding, Brian. I don't know why I said that. Yeah, well, what's the one thing you miss about Ohio the most? Because I know what I miss about Chicago. You first.
I think we're probably similar in this respect. I mean, it's got to be the food. I mean, you know, coming out here to Chicago, you know, hot dogs and pizza was pretty much ruined for me for the rest of my life. I can't eat hot dogs or pizza anywhere else but Chicago. But in Cleveland, such a foodie. There's so many cool little nuggets in Cleveland to go to, Slimans being one of them. I'm a huge corned beef guy. Just love it. And all the surrounding areas in Ohio City and you know, West 6th and the Flats. It's really up and coming with all the new microbrews and all the little small place shops. It's just, I miss it. I miss it a lot.
Cleveland is a great town in many, many ways. It's surprisingly great. And that East 6th is a great place to stop too, right by the Indian Stadium and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And some great places there. But I have to say, like you said, the pizza and the hot dogs, definitely miss it here. And the little taco and burrito stands too. We don't have them here in Cleveland. I miss it.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's a lot of Mexican restaurants out here, and there's a rich flavor, scratch kitchens, and you're not going to go hungry, that's for sure.
No, that's the problem.
And I know Brian will roll his eyes at this one, but no White Castle out here either. Come on. They have them down in Cincinnati. I think there's a couple in Columbus, but no castles here in Cleveland.
I wouldn't even walk over the road for a White Castle, let alone drive to another city, okay?
Gotta love White Castle.
Thank you, Paula.
Yeah, that's a little different. White Castle was never on my menu. I'm with you, Brian.
Yeah.
Wouldn't waste my 99 cents there.
Wow, you even know the price. I didn't even know that.
All right. Well, now we have a reason to turn this conversation to something that is probably a little more fasten related. Actually, it is. Let's talk about the FDI, guys. Your fellow board member, Jake Davis, just got done with Mike McNulty, and we had a little bit of an uptick, actually a surprising uptick in the Fastener Distributor Index. I'd like to get your reaction to that. Paula, I know you're on the import side of things. You're in a niche, and did you see anything that made you kind of say, that's what I saw too, or what was your reaction to that uptick in the FDI?
Yeah, definitely saw things get busier, you know, at the beginning of the year. Where it was kind of quiet towards the end of last year. So it's good to see, you know, that things are getting started and humping again.
I mean, we normally see that beginning of January is like a new leaf turns over, and all, you know, going back historically, it's almost always the same. But this was a little bit of a bigger change than is normal just for January.
Yeah, you're right, Brian. It's almost like a turn the leaf or turn the page kind of thing. And traditionally or historically, our Januaries have always been good.
Yeah.
And really sets the tone for the rest of our year. But I'm with Paula. You know, Q4 was light, and it kind of plateaued for us as well, especially in October and November. But December, there was a dip. There was a noticeable dip. So we anticipated an uptick in January, and hopefully we can ride that wave until Q3 of this year to see, you know, what happens.
I think December is a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, everyone was so convinced that there's going to be a disastrous month that it sort of turned out being not a great month.
Right. Well, then you have the anomaly this year again as being an election year. And as much as I want to dispel the myths of there always being a slowdown and it's because of the election, I can't seem to qualify that, because every election there seems to be a little blip on the page. So I do think there are a lot of people that just sit back and wait to see what's happening so then they can make their decisions based on what happens on the election process.
Right. Not that there's anything immediately going to happen anywhere after an election. It takes months. The sentiment thing.
So you've been in the fastener industry for a lot of years. Actually, you gave your whole story in a previous episode of Fully Threaded Radio. And you're also sort of a politico. And I'm tying those together. Do you notice a defined pattern in presidential election years? I never thought to ask you that before. I mean, have you seen something that you can report back?
There's no rhyme or reason, that's for sure, in respect to party. You know, this will happen when this party's elected. This will happen when this party's in office. There's really no rhyme or reason there. But I do think there are indices, especially in markets, where some markets look at the election more so than others, agriculture being one. Obviously want to make sure that they get their guy in the chair so that their viewpoints can be established and the stipends that they hope to get will be sent out. So that would be one market to look at, especially given the fact that ag has been hurting for the last couple of years. This is going to be a big year for them.
Good point, actually. Maybe some of that will be aided by the fact that the trade agreement between China and the US will certainly affect some of the agriculture industry.
Let's hope so.
Interesting. Well, thanks for the perspective. Yeah, I know what you mean about the party indifference component of it, but I was really wondering about just the election year, the turmoil in general, if it seems to indicate one thing or another, and I guess it's really always a melee. Well, let's talk about something that's a lot more clear-cut, and that is what's going on at the Midwest Fastener Association in April. Because you guys called us up a little while ago and said, guys, we got to get on the podcast to share this huge event that's coming up. And that's on April 16th. MWFA has GH3. What going on?
Well, we have a great event. We have an anniversary, our 74th anniversary. And at this anniversary dinner, we are going to be honoring some inductees into our Hall of Fame. And these Hall of Fame honorees are inductees that really span probably the 70s, 80s, and 90s of our association and what it is today. So we're really excited about the event and how it came about. And Paula has some details for you.
Yeah, so Eric, as you mentioned, the event is on April 16th. We're having it at Venuti's Restaurant and Banquet Hall, located in Addison. It's an Italian banquet hall, an award-winning restaurant. Cocktails
course,
are going to be
else?
Starting. Yes, good Italian food.
Yeah, good.
Cocktail hour. Cicero will be happy.
Yes, absolutely. Cocktail hour will be starting at 6, and we'll have a slideshow presentation with some photos from our history, and see a lot of old familiar faces, so it'll be nice, and dinner will be starting at 7.
Cool.
This will really be a great event. So if you don't come out often, this would be the one to come out to. We're going to have a lot of history and background, as George had mentioned. It'll just be a great time to get to know our industry better.
So this bit was aimed at me, I can tell.
Well, Bri, it's a semi-formal event, so we're really hoping that we would see you in your plaid knickers and maybe a bow tie, top hat. I don't know.
Bow tie. That, I could find one of those. I couldn't find the plaid. I don't think it would be a little bit difficult, okay?
Oh, God. George, can you take this offline and get with Brian and really make sure that he's all dolled up right? But I cannot imagine him in Argyle, really.
No, wow. No.
Sounds like Brian and I are going to have to make a trip. We'll make a trip, Brian, to Men's Warehouse, get you all dolled up. We'll be good.
Thanks, George.
Now, I have to rewind here to just a fundamental question. I did not know that the MWFA has a Hall of Fame. Is this a new thing, or is this something that kind of went dormant and now you're resuscitating it?
A little bit of both. I would say about a year ago, the board kind of came together under Wayne Wishnew's guidance and really kind of came together with a new committee, an adaptation really of our membership committee, and formed a historical committee. And this historical committee really was our attempt to honor our rich history and recognize those people that came before us and really have yet to come. A lot of people don't realize that the MWFA was actually called the Chicago Bolt, Nut, and Screw Association. In 2001, we actually moved forward to be called the Midwest Fastener Association only because we started really reaching out to distributors, suppliers, and individuals that were really outside of the greater Chicagoland area. So we really wanted to make our association something that, or adapt to what our association had become. So the CBNSA actually did have a Hall of Fame. And what we wanted to do as we migrate towards the MWFA and get a little longer in the teeth, per se, we're going to be 75 years old next year. What we really didn't want to do was forget or misplace the rich history that our association has. So in order to do that, our board created this committee and also recognized their need for a historian to collaborate on things that had been done and things that are yet to come. And we are also going to form a Hall of Fame with the MWFA as well. So really a collaboration of sorts from the board. And I'm really thankful for the people that have been involved in this committee, Glenn Brin, Paula, Pam Cicero, and Wayne Wishnew. Obviously, Nancy Rich as well. She's pretty much the heart and soul of this association, so she's everywhere.
Right. And as long as you're at it, George, you ought to just include Marty Nolan, too, you know, just for good measure.
There's always a Marty. You know, Marty is the Kevin Bacon of our industry.
Well, when there's a Hall of Fame involved, you know, he's not far out.
He's not. And I believe he is a member of our association as well. So there's always hope for Marty.
Well, he's an honorary member of all fastener associations everywhere. Let's just get that straight. And it's a good thing, too.
Yes.
But it's cool how you're doing this kind of as a run-up to the 75th. I was also wondering about that part of it. You know, the 74th is usually, you know, you don't make a big fanfare out of it. I guess you do, but not as big as 75th. So that answers that.
Absolutely. I mean, we wanted to really give the CBNSA their due, and we are going to be inducting 32 members into the CBNSA Hall of Fame that
wow.
evening. So it's going to be a great event. We're going to have four speakers, and those speakers were all past presidents of the CBNSA, and it's really going to be an event, as Paula said, that if you haven't been involved with the MWFA and you haven't been able to get out to an event, this is the event to circle your calendar for.
Okay, folks, you heard it from GH3. That's April 16th. More information is available online, of course, where the website is mwfa.net, or just reach out to Marty Nolan. He'll have all the details. George, you know what you're wearing to this thing?
Yeah, maybe you can help me, Eric. I'm not sure. I was thinking of maybe a solid suit, maybe blue navy with white kicks, or I was going to go maybe a t-shirt with a blazer over the top, and then, you know, maybe red pants and just go little semi-formal. I'm not sure.
Never at a loss for ideas. You never disappoint. Paula, I'm not even going to go there with you, okay? I'm not going to go there. I know how you're feeling about this right now, but let's just say thanks for doing a great job with the MWFA. We're looking forward to this event.
Yeah, we are as well. Thank you.
Well, I've got to mark my calendar then.
You mean for your shopping trip with George?
That's a different Mac.
That too. George Hunt III, Paula Evitz with the MWFA. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you on April 16th and hopefully before.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
See you later, buddy.
Brian, I really think you would look awesome in Argyle.
Thanks, George.
Let's make that happen.
Man, thanks, George.
And answer me this. What is it going to take to see you in an Argyle suit?
Lots.
At Brighton Best, we continue to expand our wide range of products, including stainless steel and metric fasteners. Our family of brands include Proferred, US Anchor, and Ironclad Performance Wear. BBI has been a trusted partner since 1925. With award-winning hand tools, gloves, and drywall screws, BBI is the largest master distributor of fasteners in the USA. Tested, tried, and true. We are Brighton Best. To learn more about Brighton Best, visit brightonbest.com.
ND Industries has been solving customers' toughest problems through innovative technologies, competitive pricing, and industry-leading service since 1955. A family-owned business, ND Industries manufactures and applies fastener locking, bonding, sealing, masking, and assembling products. Their pre-application process makes fasteners ready to use at the point of assembly, resulting in reduced labor costs, time savings, and superior quality assurance. As a fully integrated company, ND handles all aspects of operations from formulating custom chemical compounds and coating fasteners to providing inline inspection, packaging, and delivery services. ND Industry serves the global market with 13 divisions in the continental U.S. and also facilities in Taiwan, China, and Turkey. Learn more about ND Industries at our website at www.ndindustries.com. ND Industries, innovative technologies, competitive pricing, and industry-leading service. Contact ND today.
Are you tired of empty promises from software vendors? Are you paying for support that you're not receiving? Is it time for another paid upgrade? There is a solution. InSequel delivers quality software designed for the fastener industry at an affordable price with industry-leading support. Quality software, affordable pricing, industry-leading support. Only InSequel can deliver all three. www.inxsql.com.
This is Frank DeVito from Solution Industries, and you're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
I don't think I have seen you in Argyle, Bry.
You mean plaid? Plaid, as I'd said, I've been corrected many times. Plaid. Okay, and I say, hey, it has AI in it. It's aid. No, Argyle, no, that's not for me either, okay?
Bow ties either. Why did you even volunteer that?
I do have a bow tie. I have a red bow tie.
Surprises will never end with you.
And I have to, when I was in university, in engineering school, and they had their end of year dinners or whatever it was, you had to wear a dinner suit. Can you imagine making a law like that in a university today? And you had to tie a real bow tie, which was the most complicated bloody thing I ever had to learn at engineering school.
thus, here we are in the fastener industry.
Right.
Interesting bit of historical insight there, Brian.
Not an engineering, you're right.
Wonder if that's George's reasons, too.
I'm sure George knows exactly how to do it.
Well, I'm never surprised by George's look at any given event, and I'm sure he'll have a good one for this one. Plus, looks like he's going to be attending the Fully Threaded Solution Industries walleye fishing event ahead of the NCFA Distributor Social, so who knows what his fishing outfit's going to look like.
We know he's going to have gloves, okay?
That's true. Hopefully he brings enough for everybody. I'd like to thank George Hunt III, along with Paula Evitz from the MWFA. Congratulations on the upcoming 74th anniversary.
Yeah.
Jake Davis was also at the table at that MWFA board meeting, but this time he joined Mike McNulty on the Fastener News Report. Thanks, guys. Great job. And we kicked everything off with Ian Heller of Distribution Strategy. Don't forget, on episode 150 of the podcast, we'll have part two of that conversation. And at that time, we'll be joined by Kirk Zender of Ernest Machine.
Cool.
That's going to be very cool. We'll have to get dressed up for it. Bob Chiricasta was with Fastener Fair USA. We'll see you all out in Charlotte, folks. And Carmen Vertulo had the Fastener Training Minute. Thanks, Carm.
Yep.
The title sponsors of Fully Threaded Radio are Stealthfast. For service you deserve and people you trust, it's Stealthfast. Brighton Best International. Tested, tried, true. Brighton Best. And Global Fasteners. Quality the first time. Fully Threaded is also sponsored by Buckeye Fasteners, BTM Manufacturing, Eurolink Fastener Supply Service, Fastener Fair USA, Fastener Technology International, InSQL Software, ND Industries, Parker Fasteners, Volt Industrial Plastics, Worth Industry North America, and Solution Industries, home of Solution Man. Get with us anytime, folks. The email address is ftr@fullythreaded.com, Twitter handle, fullythreaded. And speaking of high fashion, Bri, I'd like to close out the show today by pointing out that a longtime industry fixture recently announced his retirement.
Yes.
Nobody in the industry, Bri, could pull off a fastener tie look like Denny Cowie, but how many events he showed up to with that fastener tie on, I lost count a long time ago, but 38 years, he is saying sayonara to the fastener industry.
Yeah, I think he's had his mind on heading off to play golf 24 hours a day for some time.
Well, he's been at it a long time. He's built a company. His son, Dennis Cowie, is taking over at Computer Insights. The Business Edge platform wisely connects to the FCH sourcing network too, Bri. I think that was one of the great things that he did with us over the years. So if you're a Business Edge user, you can get your inventory out on FCH, and we thank him for that.
Yeah, we've had that facility. We developed that years ago, actually.
It first rolled out with InSQL software. It did. And of course, InSQL went on to include a really excellent search interface from within InSQL. So you can actually do searches of the network from right on the desktop in InSQL. And that's a very cool feature. You and Darren have been at work, actually, that making tweaks ever since.
Yes, true, actually. And if I wasn't, you know, dealing with our new website, we'd probably have another set of tweaks coming through. That ties in with the Stealthfast lookup too.
Stealthfast in SQL and FCH, yeah, that's a good triumvirate. Well, we got a lot on our list, and I guess, Denny, you got the last thing on your list crossed off, and now it's golf and tennis, and good for you. Can you imagine, Bri, how much Chardonnay over the years was spilled on that fastener tie?
I don't. I think Denny was much more careful than that.
Well, I'm not saying he wasn't careful, you know, but people bump into you all the time at these events. And, well,
right.
You don't have that problem as much with a bow tie, though, right?
No, unless it's a really bad bump. Then you've got to love your face as well.
And that's going to put this episode of Fully Threaded Radio in the can, folks. Thanks so much for listening in. Next time, we're going to hear all about Brian and George's trip to Men's Warehouse. Don't miss it.
Yeah, thanks, George.
For Brian Musker, this is Eric Dudas. Get out there, sell some screws. Don't bump into anyone at the bar. We'll talk to you next time.
And remember, if you practice really hard on your knee or your leg, you will learn how to tie a bow tie.
Fully Threaded Radio is a production of Fasteners Clearinghouse. Music provided by Audionautix.